that was given the Medal of Honor just a couple of weeks ago. And he and his soldier comrades were in Afghanistan, and they were attacked, and it was one of the worst battles of the Afghan War. Every one of them was either wounded or killed, but this one young man continued, even though he was wounded, to lob grenades until help could come. And they were able to evac out 10 to 15 men because of his courage. And I often wonder if it's courage, or if you just kick in to do what you're trained to do, you know, and you're thinking about these people that need your help. And then I think about Miriam Ibrahim. I've shared with you about her. She is the young woman she's 28 years old, by the way, I found out, who was imprisoned in the North Sudanese prison for refusing to renounce the name of Jesus. She had been she became a Christian. She was Muslim and became a Christian. And she took her two-year-old son into prison with her and had a baby in prison while she was there. She is now back in the United States. She has been released by God's grace. But it took courage for her to say, I will die for Jesus. I refuse to renounce his name. Then we read about people in the scriptures. Let's turn to Acts chapter 6. I think Dean's going to put it up for us. We've heard about Stephen several times in the course of our lives, all of us, I'm sure. I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but I think we need to be reminded and encouraged. We're going to read about Stephen here this morning a little bit, verses 8 through 15. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Stephen was full to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia. Now, I don't think I'm pronouncing that right. Cilicia and Asia. These men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak words of blasphemy against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like that of an angel. Have you ever been around somebody who is so full of the Holy Spirit, you just want to nuzzle up to them? They just glow from the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the kind of countenance that Stephen had. He goes on to preach to the Sanhedrin. Once again, he's preaching to the choir because he reiterates all of the things of their Jewish history. Starts with Abraham, goes to Moses, and does the whole thing. Then we get over to chapter 7, and we're going to skip over to verses 51, and we'll read through 60 here. He has the courage to call them, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. you who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. Well, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Now, I want you to look at this word, standing. Do you realize that a lot of the other scriptures in the Bible relays Jesus as sitting at the right hand of God? Jesus stood up to look down at his servant Stephen. Is that pretty cool? That's pretty cool. At this, they covered their ears and yelled at the top of their voices, and they rushed at him. Have you ever, when somebody's telling you something you don't want to hear, you go, la, 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 la. That's what they were doing. We don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear. So they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses lay their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell to his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Did not Jesus say the same thing? Jesus said the same thing. He forgave them for what they did to him. He had compassion on them enough to ask God to forgive them. And you know what? That took courage. That took courage. So, what are some of the other things we need courage for? Breaking addictions, I think. It takes courage for people to break addictions. It's hard because they like that comfort zone of what they know. Sharing Jesus with someone at work. Yeah, at the risk of being ridiculed or made fun of. I suffer from that one. Walking away from someone or something that is pulling you away from your relationship with God. Yeah, that takes courage. That takes a lot of courage, Mr. Johnny. Holy Spirit, courage to speak the truth in love. That takes guts. Because you don't know how that word's going to be received. To stand for what is right to do, trusting the Holy Spirit to lead you on this one. We talked about that last week in Sabbath school, I believe, and we discussed it again today. Well, not really. We talked last week about what would you do if the Nazis came to your door and asked you if you were harboring Jews in your attic, and you would lie and say, "No, I'm not." And where's the fine line of telling the truth? When does that lie that you told that's going to save somebody's life, how does that all figure out? I think we have to listen to the Holy Spirit on that one. What's the conviction in your heart? What's God told you to do? The church today needs courage to stand against those who are trying to silence God and his message. We have to stand up. And how do we do that? How does the church do that? We vote. In America, we have the right to go vote and make those decisions. Get out on the street if we have to, and protest if we have to. The time is coming in America, I'm afraid to say, but the time is coming in America when we're going to find out what we're made of. And I pray for myself, and I pray for the church, that we have the strength that we need in Christ Jesus to stand up for what's right, for whatever's ahead of us, because it's not going to be easy, people. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. And I have lost my bookmark. I'll have to find it too. Here we go. And we're going to read this story. We're going to read the whole chapter. This is about King Asa. This is a man. This is a man. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him. The Lord is with you when you are with him. Listen to me, Asa. The Lord, I just read that. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress." Sounds like today, doesn't it? History repeats itself. "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. He removed the detestable idols from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. Then he assembled all Judah and Benjamin and the people from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon who had settled among them. For large numbers had come over to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord God was with him. So imagine this. People from the rest of Israel came up to Judah to be there because God was with them. They left the lands they had been given and moved there. They assembled at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of Asa's reign. And at that time, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 head of cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had brought back. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and soul. All who would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, were to be put to death, whether small or great, man or woman. They took an oath to the Lord with loud acclamation, with shouting and with trumpets and horns. What a celebration they had. All Judah rejoiced about the oath made, because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly, and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. King Asa also deposed his grandmother Maacah from her position as queen mother because she had made a repulsive Asherah pole. Asa cut the pole down, broke it up, and burned it in the Kidron Valley. Although he did not remove the high places from Israel, Asa's heart was fully committed to the Lord all his life. He brought into the temple of God the silver and gold and the articles that he and his father had dedicated. And there was no more war until the 35th year of Asa's reign. Asa stood up for what was right. He even stood up against his grandmother, for crying out loud. went against his own family and what they had. He'd been raised in that environment of idol worship. He said, no, we can't do this anymore. We need to stand for God. And God blessed him for that. So what about us? You know, personally speaking for myself, this last week I had gone to the dentist on Monday, and I felt like after I got home that I had blown it. After I got to thinking about it, because the girl asked me, well, what are you going to do today? Well, Monday was the day I put my sermon together. Well, instead of saying, well, I'm going to do my sermon today for church on Sabbath, which could have opened a wonderful door of conversation, I said, well, I'm going to go home and pick beans and can, which I did. But I thought to myself later on as I was preparing my sermon, you blew it. You didn't walk through a door that God flung open for you. Shame on you. I didn't stand for God that day very well. I want us to turn to Mark 8. And as I was studying my lesson for today, this came to my mind, and I said, wow, this piece of scripture nailed me to the wall. Mark 8:34-38 says, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Whatever good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. I said, God, I'm sorry. And then this scripture came up. Revelations 21:6-8. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit this all this. And I will be his God and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. You know, that's pretty serious stuff. But you know what? Thank you, Jesus. We have his blood to cover us. When we stand believing, trusting him, asking him in to our lives, he is in there. He is in there. And he will bring us to salvation to live eternally with him in heaven. And I just ask for more and more Holy Spirit power to be able to stand firm, to speak out when he gives me those open doors, and to be 100% sold out for Jesus so that we're not afraid to die, because we know we have the promise of heaven and eternity there with Jesus. We know that. And like Addie trying to figure out how to get Jesus' feet and all in, we need to get feet and all in too. so that we can have the courage to stand when there's nothing else we can do but stand. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. Father God, we just humbly come before you right here, right now. And we ask you to infill each and every one of us here in this place with your Holy Spirit power so that we can be 100% sold out for Jesus to be able to stand firm whatever's coming our way. Whatever that is in our personal life, in our community, in our country, in our world. God, you are the only one who knows. And I thank you that you have that under control. But I also thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus that you have allowed to be shed for our sins, to cover us when we don't walk through those doors that we should. And I confess that to you in the name of Jesus. And I just pray, Father God, that you will help us to stand firm when there isn't anything else we can do. In Jesus' name, amen.